river and plain, through wind and storm,
rides Anne of the Airline. Many unexpected adventures have been encountered by Anne Burton since she resigned from her nursing career at Tyler Sanitarium in Springfield. Fate has brought her and Jack Baker, pilot for Interstate, to a small uncharted island off the southeast coast of Florida, where a tropical hurricane is driving in from the sea. With the arrival of the crest of the 100-mile-an-hour gale a matter of minutes, one of the gangsters, Vic Morgan, gives Jack instructions to fly to a secret airport, evidently located in the heart of the Everglades. However, Morrison has managed to secretly give Jack a radiogram from the president of Interstate Airlines, which gives Jack permission to use the transport in assisting the United States Secret Service in rounding up the diamond ring. Therefore, Jack apparently falls in with Morgan's demands and consents to take off, even in the face of the oncoming gale. However, he is forced to leave before he can get the frequency of the wave band upon which he will receive his secret instructions from the head of the Secret Service. Anne receives this frequency number and tries to shout it to Jack as he takes off, but her voice is lost in a clap of thunder. There is but a few minutes' supply of gas in the tanks. Will the huge transport be able to reach a port ahead of the storm? And how will Jack's friends get the correct frequency to him? Listen.
Honestly, Anne, if you don't get pneumonia, you'll fool me while you're wet as a drowned cat.
Yes, and the worst part of it, Kay, is that I just know Jack didn't hear the frequency that I yelled to him.
Well, it's no use crying over spilled milk. What's worrying me is just where they expect to take that ship. It hasn't got enough gas in those tanks to clean a pair of pants.
Well, gosh, Pete, couldn't we take off after them?
Afraid not, Bobby. That transport might ride out this storm, but one of these air cats, well, a crash takeoff isn't going to help Jack either.
What puzzles me is how those two gangsters induced Jack to fly that airship away from here. Can't tell me that he isn't a match for both of them.
I suppose it's telling tales out of school, folks, but here's something you might as well know, so you won't get the wrong idea about Jack. Anne here knows about it, and I think it'll ease the minds of the rest of you to know it. However, I want your solemn promise not to tell a soul.
Do we promise?
We won't breathe a word.
Well, just before Jack took off, you'll remember I managed to get over to the transport. I very surreptitiously passed Jack a radiogram from John Boyle, president of Interstate, giving him permission to use the transport as he sees fit and to assist the United States Secret Service in running to Earth the members of the illicit diamond syndicate.
Gee, Mr. Morrison, you mean you're a member of the Secret Service?
No, I never said that at all, Bobby. I can say truthfully, though, that I'm connected with the Communications Commission, just as I said I was. But I can't go any further than that.
Now, wait just a minute, young man. After what I've been through, I don't trust anyone. There's one little point that you did make clear, and I want an explanation before I promise not to turn you over to the authorities for inspection or investigation or whatever it is they do with people they don't know all about.
She's right about that, Art. Kay, Bobby, and myself have been with you practically every minute since we hooked up together on this rescue party back in Springfield. And we haven't seen any messenger boy around.
Well, neither have I. Unless it might have been... Say, so that's the reason for that...
I think you've guessed it, Kay. That plane that flew over the island while we were making things fast before we took off. That ship was from the air base at Pensacola. And the radiogram was in response to a request I made while in the radio room of Interstate at Springfield.
Well, yeah, but how did you get the message on the island? Why didn't some of us see it, too?
Well, I knew the plane was coming because, if you'll remember, I managed to use the transmitter and receiver there on the island.
I thought something like that was in order when I heard you say Washington.
So while Joe and I were letting the battery hut and the radio aerials down into their receptacles, the ship flew over and the pilot signaled where he could drop the message. I gave him the okay signal with my arm, and he dropped it, stuck to a large stone with rubber cement.
Why the rubber cement, Art?
That's just a precaution, Pete. Using rubber cement sticks the message to the rock until you take it off yourself. Then by rubbing the cement that remains on the stone with your finger, it rolls off, and you have a stone lying on the beach that, well, it might have been there for years. In fact, Joe did think he saw the plane drop something and looked at the weight and found exactly nothing.
Gosh, I got to remember that one. It might come in handy.
But about this frequency I've heard about, why is that so important?
Well, Jack is to receive information as to his future course over a secret frequency that can be received by the receiver on the transport ship. Yeah, but I'm afraid that's where we fell down. Jack didn't get that frequency before he left.
All I knew was that Ann was trying to get some number to him, and I thought it must have been pretty important.
If I had only left this ship a second sooner.
Forget it, Ann. We'll manage to get that frequency to Jack. That is, if the wind outside doesn't tear this ship to pieces.
Not much danger of that, unless a tree comes over on us.
And they've been standing in storms worse than this for a long time. Now, there's little danger.
I don't know what the rest of you think about it. But as long as I'm in this comfortable seat, I'm going to have a little nap. Hurricane or no hurricane. I'm practically exhausted. And there's nothing we can do until the storm dies down.
That's a swell idea, Aunt Hattie. Although I don't see how anybody could sleep with that howling going on. There isn't much we can do. I guess there's room enough for everybody, isn't there?
Oh, I couldn't sleep till we hear something of Jack. I'll watch and tell you when the wind dies down.
And I'll try to stay awake and keep you company, Bobby. The thought of what might be happening to Jack wouldn't let me sleep no matter how tired I might be.
You might just as well rest, Ann. Whatever was to happen has already happened to the transport because they didn't have gas to last this long.
Oh, gee, nothing's happened. Jack's a good enough pilot to get his ship through this. Let's get some rest while we have a chance.
What's that?
Listen, Pete. Don't make any noise. Everyone else is sound asleep, and I don't want them to hear this, particularly Aunt Hattie, because she'd never let me do it. But I've got a plan.
Go ahead, Ann. What is it? I'm with you if there's a chance it'll work.
Well, I just happen to see that there's a parachute over there. Bobby has his head on it, see?
Yeah, but we're on the ground. What do you want with
all
a
right.
parachute?
Now, how much gas is in Doug's ship?
Well, that one's got plenty to go 300 or 400 miles, I guess. But this one's just about dry. It would be in 30 minutes. And it's raining too hard to try and transfer any.
Now, here's the idea, Pete. We'll take off and try to find Jack. When we locate the transport on the ground, I'll drop off in a chute a few miles away so no one will notice and get this frequency or wavelength to him some way.
Simple as all that. Now, look, Ann. In the first place, we don't know which way Jack and those two guys went. Second, they may have the ship grounded on some private airport and got the plane under cover where we can't see it from the air. And then last and not least, by a long shot, just how do you intend to get back after you give Jack the wavelength?
I'll just have to take a chance on getting back. And we'll have to do the same about finding the ship. You must have some idea of where it would be. We know that they couldn't fly east against that hurricane.
No. The only place within flying distance from the gas they had would be somewhere in the Everglades. They could, if they had a field ready, sit down there and no one would ever be the wiser. But listen, Ann, getting back from there on foot is... Well, let's let Morrison fly the Aircat and I'll use the chute. You see, there are alligators and all sorts of crawling things in those swamps, and they're not exactly the healthiest things in the world.
There are things worse than alligators, Pete. Now, suppose we wake Kay so she can tell the rest where we went when they wake up.
Okay, but I'm telling you, get
back. Kay? Kay? Oh, what is it, Ann?
Quiet, Kay. Everyone's asleep except Pete and me. The storm has let up quite a bit, and Pete thinks that we can take the other Aircat up and look around for Jack.
I'm ready. Let's go.
No. Now, listen, Kay. I'm going with Pete.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to get that wavelength to Jack because it means everything to him. And only you'll hear when Pete gets back.
When Pete gets back?
Yes.
But aren't you coming back?
I don't know, Kay. I hope so. But you tell Aunt Hattie that I'm not in danger, will you? And we'll take off before they get a chance to talk us out of this. Goodbye.
Oh, happy landing, Van. And Pete, be careful, won't you?
Pete is always careful, Kay. So long.
Got this thing on right, Pete?
That's right, Ann. And don't forget what I told you about slipping your chute if the wind happens to catch you.
I will.
You got a pocket?
Yes, why?
Well, here. Take my pocket knife. You never know when you'll get hung up in a tree with one of these things, and a knife is mighty handy to cut yourself loose. Ann, why don't you call this off? It's too dangerous, I tell you.
It's the only thing to do, Pete. I know that either you or Morrison would do it for Jack, but both of you can fly ships and I can't. But I can make a parachute jump. At least I hope I can. And Jack has to be able to contact the service. The department by radio if he's to help them.
Okay, but I still say you're taking an awful chance. Not only in making this jump, but getting back. There's swamps and there's alligators and there's Indians.
Are you trying to discourage me?
No, I'm just telling you, Ann, what you're up against. You still want to try it?
Not a thing you said will make me back out, Pete. If I were an air hostess on a liner that made a forced landing down there, none of those things would stop me from going for help, would they?
Well, no, but...
All right, then. I started out to be an air hostess, and this is a good chance to make a beginning.
You win, Ann. And I can see where Interstate is going to have a new hostess when we get back to Springfield, if we do.
Oh, I hope so. Pete, are those bushes down there, I see?
Bushes, nothing. Those are trees. They're plenty close together. They're not bending much. So I guess the wind down there is dying out, too. This rain is sure holding its own. Look at that shield.
Well, I'm wet through anyway, so that won't make much difference. That is, if I do have to get out. But how could they... How could a plan land in that place?
Well, it couldn't. Unless that gang has a special airport. I wouldn't put that past them after seeing that island and the way they had it fixed up. It's a cinch they must have a port around here somewhere because it appears they've been using planes in their smuggling racket for quite a while.
Pete, over there to the west. Isn't that a clearing of some kind?
The shield is so blurred, I can't tell. Might be just one of the small lakes. I'll drop down a bit and have a look. Don't want to get too close, or those two crooks will recognize this aircraft.
That's no lake. See right over there, Pete.
Just a long strip of water is all I see, Ann.
I know, but there's a motor car or a truck running right down the middle of it. Pete, that's a runway covered with water from the rain. That's a secret airport.
Yeah, I guess you're right, Ann. Well, lady, here's where you get off. We'll drop over here to the east just a little. I don't want you to drop right in the middle of their runway.
But I don't see the interstate transport. I wonder...
Don't worry. That's the only place it could be. Yeah, there's a hangar over there at the edge, see? And there's the tail of a ship sticking out of the doors, too big to get in. That'd have to be the new ship to be that big. Well, here's about it, Ann. You still want to try it?
If I can get this door open, wish me luck.
Oh, you're going to need it, Ann. And don't forget what I said about counting up to 10
no,
first.
Won't.
And don't get scared. I'll be careful.
Bye, Pete. Bye.
Ann Burton makes her first parachute jump. Will she land safely? Will she find her way through the treacherous swamps to the secret airport? Time alone offers the solution to these questions, so be sure to be tuned to the next gripping episode of Anne of the Airlines.